We live in a wonderful world. We live in a world filled with beauty, filled with goodness, filled with happiness, harmony, right action, every lovely and beautiful thing. And as we live in this world, what are we doing? It's a good question. Today is Thursday, December 9th, 1999, and we're at the Absolute Monastery. We're in a place today where beauty abounds on every side of us. A beautiful Christmas tree, beautiful plants growing, beautiful puppy dogs, beautiful people. Everywhere we look, we see beauty, beauty, beauty. And we think to ourselves, beauty galore. Everywhere beauty. How many times have you thought to yourself, everything is so beautiful, I can't imagine it being any more beautiful than it is. Everything is so wonderful, I can't imagine it being any more wonderful than it is. And when you think those thoughts, what's going through your head? When you think those thoughts, you're thinking limitation. And we don't ever need to think limitation. We need what we think is infinite abundance, infinite expression of all that's good, infinite outpicturing of everything that's glorious and beautiful. That's what we're really thinking. And how do we think these things? We were talking about what makes up wealth, what makes up abundance. And we could say, abundance is being independently wealthy. Abundance is having everything in good measure. Abundance is having everything that you could ever want. Well, beauty is all around us. Beauty we have for free. We look at things and we see they're beautiful and they're free. We go to a florist shop, we see beautiful bouquets of flowers. We stand there, we breathe in each one of these beautiful bouquets of flowers, and then we go on our way. Now, we have just smelled a $50 bouquet, a $100 bouquet, a $10 bouquet, a $500 bouquet. My, that's a big one, isn't it? But you could smell them and look at them, feast on them. Could you own them any more than smelling them and looking at them and feasting on them with your eyes? Not really. I sent my wife some flowers the other day, and she was so surprised to get them. And then she called about 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks later, and she says, "Today I had to put your flowers out because they just finished." They were no longer there. 2.5, almost 3 weeks. That's pretty good. Pretty good. For 2.5, 3 weeks, she enjoyed those flowers in her own living room. She enjoyed them in her own bowl, looking at them every day, thinking how much she is loved. Why couldn't she look at flowers anywhere and think every time she looks at a flower how much she's loved? This we can do. And it costs us nothing. She could look out of her window and she could see every one of the beautiful flowers growing in the garden nearby and think how much she's loved. Just because we put a name on it and we sent it from someone precious, that doesn't necessarily mean anything more than if our own eyes look out and behold something. What sort of point are we driving at here? Beauty is everywhere. Beauty is abundantly everywhere. It's beauty galore everywhere we look. Everywhere we look is beauty. And yet, to my wife, the flowers that I sent her were more beautiful than the flowers that other people received. The flowers that I sent her were more beautiful than the flowers in the garden around her home. And what was she doing when she looked at those flowers? She was thinking, I am loved. Somebody cares about me. Somebody shares with me their love for me. Okay. Now let's just keep that feeling there for a minute. What would happen if she were to think to herself, just think to herself, I am loved. Just think to herself, I care about somebody. That's a good start. I care about somebody. And then somebody cares about me, if you wish. But it's you. It's what's going on in your mind that makes the only difference that there is. If someone sends you flowers and you say, I don't want flowers from that person, and you throw them away. I don't want to have that person like me. I don't want to have that person in my world. And you throw the gift away. What does that mean when you do that? That means you are putting a judgment on whatever you have. Now, if the flowers were sent to you from your child, you would enjoy them very much. If they were sent to you by an admirer, you'd say, I think I like it. If they were sent to you by an admirer who your husband would not appreciate, then you might think twice about having them in your possession. Then, just knowing that someone sends them to you is enough. You don't have to have the flowers, because you don't want to create problems for yourself. We were talking about a lady the other day, and the lady was having all sorts of problems. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to turn. She didn't know how to act. And then she began having all sorts of experiences of having people send her flowers, having people send her candy, having people send her tokens of affection. And she wondered, what in the heck's going on here? Why is this happening to me? I'm worthy of it, of course, but why is it happening to me? And then she was standing by her kitchen window, and she heard her son speaking to the mailman as he was delivering mail. And the little boy, just a few years old, said to the mailman, do you know that my mommy is looking for a new boyfriend? My mommy is looking for a new boyfriend so that she will have someone to date and someone to go out with, someone to be with. Isn't that wonderful? And so the mailman contacts her and says, yo, here are some flowers. Would you like to go on a date? And she says, what is this? And she knows what it is. So then she says to the mailman, did my son say something to you? And the mailman said, yes. And she says, you realize that my husband is in service and he's away right now. And we miss him very much. And I said to my son on several occasions that I miss his daddy very much, and that I would love to go out on a date. I just love to go dancing. I'd love to go to the theater. I'd love to go out and eat. But, you know, daddy's not here. If I had a boyfriend, I could do that, but I don't have any boyfriends, you know. And I was just sort of joking. And my son took me seriously and began to advertise me. Well, you see, abundance is all about us. Abundance is everywhere about us. Why did all of these people take an interest in this lady just because her son reported that she was available on the market again, even though her husband was in service and she was not on the market? Maybe she was, but at least publicly she wasn't on the market. So, you see, simple little things like that that open us up to enjoy a lot of interesting happenings in our life. When we allow ourselves to be free, when we allow ourselves to realize one thing, it's not another person's attention to us that makes us happy. It's not another person's appreciation of us that makes us happy. It is only our appreciation of ourself. Our appreciation of ourselves makes us feel wonderful, makes us feel good, makes us feel whole and perfect, and makes us feel fulfilled. But if we don't appreciate ourselves, no matter how much another person appreciates us, it does not mean a thing. Chuck, grader, he does the grading on our roads for us. He's going to do some grading. He told me that his son had a girlfriend, and they were going to be married, and they'd been going together for 4 years. And then the girl died of a heart attack unexpectedly, because she didn't know, or they didn't know, she had a heart problem. And so now here it is some, I think it's several years later, and he's still mourning for this girl. He feels that this girl was so wonderful that his life just isn't full anymore because she's not there. And he feels so sad and so downhearted by it. And I said to the father, I said, Chuck, when you talk to your son, well, I'll be talking to him tonight. When you talk to your son, you tell your son that he is the most blessed of all men on the face of the earth. Because he had 4 years of absolute paradise with this beautiful girl. And Chuck says, yes, and I agreed to their wedding. I fully in harmony with their wedding. I really agreed to their wedding. And I said, well, you just go and tell him that he is the most wonderful man in the world, most fortunate man in the world, to have had the love of this girl for 4 years. 4 years. And for 4 years, they dedicate each other all of their time and all of their attention and all of their love. And I said, now that she has gone on, he has the opportunity to live his life so beautifully from what he lived it with his girlfriend, from how he lived it and what his attitude about himself, that he can live his life as a monument to the beauty, to the goodness, and to the happiness that he had with this girl. And then go on and share himself with others so that the blessed goodness and the feeling, the blessings that she had given to him can, don't have to die with him, but can go on and on and on. And he says, oh, Dr. Byron, you're so wise. Will you talk to my son? And I said, anytime, bring him around. But you see, that's a father. And he would say to his son what I suggested he'd say. But if I were to talk to the son straight across, I wouldn't say the same thing. I would say something entirely different, because you know why? The father wants the son to stop mourning and stop being sorry for himself. I would encourage the son to continue mourning and continue being sorry for himself. Why? Because when you tell a child not to do something, they want to do it. When you tell a person not to do something, they want to do it. Don't sit there, that is wet paint on that bench. Oh, it is not. Don't do that, you're going to get hurt. Oh, no, not. And you do get hurt. You do get wet paint all over you. You see, we want to do the contrary, even though we know what is right is what we should be doing. Why do we want to do the contrary? We want to do the contrary because we don't like ourselves. When we like ourselves, we put only perfect causes in motion. When we like ourselves, we say, I am wonderful. I feel fantastic. What a great day. I feel like I could go out and accomplish anything that I chose today. I am fantastic. I am wonderful. I'm glorious. Beauty everywhere. But we don't do that. We go out and we say, oh, this didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, the other thing didn't work. But we're lying. Those things didn't work. That's true. But we are not counting the millions of things that did work. We are not counting the million of the beautiful blessings that happen in our life, the million of beauty and goodness and harmony and truth and happiness that come to us constantly. We don't count those things. Count your blessings. I'd like to give you each a responsibility. Here on the plain by the Paradise Garden, we have some yellow trees. They're turning yellow with fall color. I'd like each of you to go down and choose a separate tree and count how many beautiful yellow leaves the tree has dropped. Now, don't mix them up with somebody else's beautiful yellow tree, just your own. Count them. Well, Herb, you know I'm not going to do that. You know that that's not the thing that's important to me. You know that I wouldn't do that for nothing. That's right. You would tire of counting beauty. You would tire of looking at the beautiful yellows and all yellow of these leaves. And you'd say, oh, this is boring. You see, beauty in our life can be boring. Beauty in our life can be very unrewarding. Beauty in our life can be non-fulfilling when we do one thing. When we start thinking it has to come from the outside. Beauty from the outside always is unfulfilling. Beauty from the outside is always transient. It's there only for a moment. When beauty comes from the inside, then it is glorious and good. Then it is fantastic. Everywhere I go, I meet people. It's obvious we all meet people. And as I meet these people, I say something charming or beautiful to them. We were at Home Depot, Siddiq and I, and we were talking to this one man who was very kind to show us to look at the electrical wires and so forth. And were you with me? No, you were reading your lesson. And so as I was walking with this fellow, I said, thank you so much for showing me right to where I want to go. And then we came upon a chubby little fellow who was his co-worker. And he had a big smile on his face and black-rimmed glasses. And I said to him, boy, are you fortunate to have a co-worker like this guy. This guy is a genius. This guy is wonderful. And the co-worker said, ah, is that why whenever I come around him, he's got a big smile on his face? And the guy said, yeah, that's right. I recognize that you are a genius, that you're great. One day I'd like to be like that. And I said to him, you know, anybody who wears glasses like you do and has such perfect vision as you do, see definitely into yourself as well as you see into others, and you see that you are just as great a genius as your friend here, just as great a genius as your coworker. And he looked at the coworker for a minute and sort of, yeah, made a face, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I said, you know I'm right. I said, he is great in his area, and you are great in your area. Keep that in mind always. Appreciate yourself for what you are. Appreciate yourself for who you are, for the things that are important in your life. Appreciate that. If you don't appreciate it, what you're doing is you're saying that you're not as beneficial as another person. You're not as good as another person. And you're good. You're very good. You, each one, are fantastic. You're glorious. But each one of you are fighting, are keeping yourself from admitting that. You don't want to say that you're good. You don't want to say you're wonderful. You don't want to say you're glorious. Why? You don't want to say it because if you say it, then you expect to live up to it. Now, is living up to it so bad? Not really. If you can start saying to yourself, I am good, I am beautiful, I am wonderful, and just casually say it, miracles will happen. But then, as I was talking to Siddiq, and we were talking about affirmations and things like that. Siddhika said, when things happen in my life, it happens not because I just make the affirmation, but because I believe the affirmation. I put my whole self behind it, and it works out. Everything works out. No matter what it is I want to do, it works out perfectly when I put my whole self behind it. When I doubt myself, it doesn't work. Now, do you think that Siddhika has a lot of things going on in her life that are beautiful miracles? You bet she does. Does she really know what they all are? No. Why doesn't she know what they all are? She doesn't know what they all are because she is only interested in the here and the now, this present moment. She is not concerned of the seeds that she has planted in the past and that are bearing her fruit. She is not concerned about the seeds she's planted in the future that are bearing her fruit. She is only concerned in the here and the now. Can you be only concerned about the here and the now? Can you follow that for yourself? Can you live it? It's a good question. Most of the time we can't. And the reason we can't live it is because we have to be told by somebody else how good we are. And that is the most unstable thing we could ever experience in our life. Having someone else tell us how good we are. Because someone else can also tell us how not good we are. We don't need to depend on the vicissitudes of another person to tell us we're good or we're not good. We don't need that at all. If we follow that, then we are going to be limiting ourselves. And we do limit ourselves with that. When an actress gets up before an audience and they applaud her performance, she bows. But does she recognize the bowing? Does she recognize the applauding? No. She is perfunctorily going about the activity of being an actress. She goes about being an actress not one second hearing the thunderous applause of the audience. Not one second realizing she's going to change her costume and that she's going to come out again. Not one second, because if she ever did, then she would be performing for the audience. Because she wants their applause. Who is she performing for? Who should she be performing for? Herself. Who should we be performing for? Ourself. When we perform for ourselves, we will have miracles take place in our life. We'll have great and wonderful things happen to us. We'll feel just like we are 10 feet tall. We'll feel rewarded in every possible way. We'll feel fantastic. But if we wait for the applause of the audience, if we wait for the approval of the critics, if we wait for people telling us at the stage door, what a wonderful performance, what happens? It doesn't come. It doesn't come. Because when you need it, it's not there. When you don't need it, it's all around you. When you are feeling sorry for yourself and you need the applause, it doesn't come. Or it might be there and you don't hear it. Because you tell yourself you don't want to hear it. You don't deserve it. You don't believe it. And it goes away. This is how it is with our life. Our life is filled with this sort of an adventure, filled with this sort of an experience of not believing in ourselves. Now, are you ready to believe in yourself? I'm ready to believe in myself. Yeah. I'm ready to believe in myself because I'm ready to take all the blessings that I can. And my blessings are that I'm able to speak and share with you. My blessings are that the words come to fulfill the need. My blessings are that I can look over here and see the Duke just being a little neck dog wrapping itself around Stefan's neck. I can look over here and I can see Button laying on the couch just as though the whole thing belongs to him. And other people on the couch are just borrowing that space from him. But all my creation is my observation. And this is what we want to do. Have all of our creation be our observation. And when all of our creation is our observation, what happens? We are the creator of it. We are the only one observing it. We are the only one doing it. We are the only one knowing it. That's all that matters. It's just us, and that's all that matters. Now, is this truly what matters to you? Does it matter to you who you are and what you are? Does it matter to you why you're going where you're going? Does it matter? It doesn't matter to me, but it matters to you. How are you going to see the beauty in your life? Are you going to start writing it down in your book of memories, in your book of blessings? You're going to start writing these things down and then refer to them? No. Why do I have you write things down in your book of blessings when I know almost to a person that none of you will open that book again? You might flash through it, but you won't open it and read it. Why do I have you write it down if I know you're not going to follow it? Simple reason. I have you write it down because the very act of writing it down is another cognizance way of looking at something. And it's only for you that you're looking at it. It's only for you that you're saying, this is good and this is beautiful. And that's all that matters, that it's just for us. Now, when you're ready for this, when you're ready for this feeling, you're ready for this demonstration, start liking yourself and the demonstration will come. Start praising yourself and the demonstration will come. Not out loud. Did you know I'm wonderful? Did you know I'm fantastic? Did you know I'm handsome? Did you know I'm this? The negative vibrations of other people around you to what you're saying will be, hey, who made you God for me, you know? So, you say it to yourself. You say it in the depth of your heart. You say it to the peaceful being within you. You say it out of the wonderment of your inner self. And when you do that, then this beauty, which is so fantastic, so glorious and so fulfilling, involves every area of your life. You are the only one who appreciates what you're doing. You're the only one who appreciates anything that goes on in your life. Remember that now, because that's all that matters. We live in this world of beauty. This world of beauty, which is just so outstanding. Take it now. Make it yours. Enfold it in your heart. Enfold it in your soul. Enfold it in your very being. You'll love it. You'll love it. I do. And that's why I see that for you. Because it's wonderful. I love you.